How good it is to see each of you. Thank you, Brother Melvin, for those good songs. And Brother Hatch, thank you for the prayer. And I would be amiss if I did not express my genuine appreciation for the hospitality extended to me always and to Doris when she's with me. And on this occasion, Bob and Cookie have been spectacular in their showing hospitality during this stay, and thanks to Barry and Edith for the meals, the fellowship with Sister Harriet and Brother Stu. I wish it would be possible that I could sit down with everybody, and I really mean that. But time, as Brother Hatch mentioned, fast passes so very rapidly. And we do appreciate you coming back tonight to study a part of God's Word. In the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, you have a beautiful scene of God's generosity, God's love for human beings, humanity, in which He had created. He gave them everything that one could possibly ask for, and they allowed that old deceiver, Satan, the dragon, the devil, the liar, the murderer, to deceive them, and they lost it. Sometimes, in fact, there's a book, is there not, Paradise Gained and Paradise Lost? In this case, the paradise that will be gained will be ultimately heaven. And if one does not go to heaven, I would not be here really tonight. I would try to show compassion, but were it not for the fact that I believe the Scriptures teach that Wendell must do everything that he can with what little ability he has, as long as I am given opportunity to teach, to edify, to preach, until I leave this earth. I don't believe that anything short on my part will be pleasing to God. And I want to go to heaven, and I know that one must please God and do His will, and heaven will surely be worth it all. And God has promised repeatedly in the Scriptures that He will give us that blessed assurance. And I hope that you too will be encouraged to read the Scriptures, to be obedient to the Scriptures, to what the Lord wants you to do to be saved and live that way. And I can assure you that God will do what He says. Let me tell you how sure that you can be that God will do what He says. How many of you worry about whether or not the sun will come up in the morning? You just automatically know that's the way it is. And if time lasts, the sun's going to come up. Now take that reasoning and realize that the Lord says that any he or any she that obeys the gospel and lives faithful to it, what few years he or she has on the earth, they can go to heaven. So when one dies, it's all in God's hand. And if I've made the correct preparation, it will be the sweetest death anyone can die. On the other hand, if I have not made preparation, it'll be an eternity of weeping and gnashing of teeth. That should sober any thinking human being up. There are no alternatives. Heaven and that other place. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter identifies himself as a servant and an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. The term servant is used very often in the Scriptures. In the book of Romans in chapter 6, there is a contrast between those who would serve sin and unrighteousness and those who would serve the Lord and righteousness. And Paul reasons that we become servants to whomever we serve. If I choose to serve the devil, then I am his servant. Now, sometimes I think we take these words, if I may use, with a grain of salt. Excuse me. And don't really realize what it means when it says he is a servant to whom he serves. If he serves sin, he or she is a servant of sin. But what does that mean? If he or she serves righteousness, he or she is a servant of righteousness. And it's all bound up in that word, servant. The word servant literally means one who gives wholly or gives himself up wholly to another's will. Let me say that again. One who gives himself wholly up to another's will. He disregards his own interest in every way. He belongs. And it's from the word slave. That servant desires to please the master in every possible way without regard to how he or she feels about it. Now that's true in both the servant of sin and the servant of Jesus Christ. So when Peter said that I am a servant and an apostle, I have given myself up wholly to serve Jesus. In fact, the apostles, all of them except John, it is believed, died a martyr's death. Stephen seemed to have no inhibition and no reluctance to own Christ as his Lord while they stoned him to death. Acts chapter 7. Why did he do that? Because he had submitted himself as a servant of the Lord. And that is a most beautiful scene. In the garden, Adam and Eve being the first in the deception, had everything. It was a paradise. They knew no sin. They needed no clothes. The climate was perfect. Everything was perfect. And they had everything. They had access to the tree of life that grew in paradise. There was only one thing that they needed to be careful about. And that was, God said, in the day you eat of the tree that stands in the middle of the garden, you'll die. Now that seemed to be simple enough. Don't eat of it. And they surely understood it because they acknowledged the fact of deception. And then along comes Satan. And the Lord said, ye will surely die. And he added one simple word. Not. You won't die. Now, the devil is called a liar. Brother Hatch read the scripture. Let me repeat it here so that you can, I'll try to make the connection. Hopefully I can make a good connection. Resist or submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In resisting the devil, the first thing that I must do is bring all of my will under God's will, because God has promised to take care of me. We sing a song, "Oh yes, he cares." Yes, he cares. God has promised in the very outset of my obedience. Let me give you this verse. "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." I'm going to stop there. The verse doesn't stop there, but I want to stop there. And I want to ask a question. Those of you that have obeyed the gospel, those may be here tonight who have not obeyed the gospel. What is the blessing if I do obey the gospel? What is the blessing if I believe in Christ, I am baptized, and I go to worship God as is it written on the first day of the week, and I worship Him all the days of my life? Is it worth it? What is it in there for me? I'll tell you something. Everything is in there for you. If you lose your soul, you've lost everything. In fact, the Lord asked, "What will a man give in exchange for your soul?" If you could stay 1 second on the other side where the people are doomed because of disobeying God, you would give everything that you would ever have. You would mortgage it in a second, as long as you had it, if it became billions and trillions of whatever, just to be in that better place. Now, what is another blessing if you do that? Submit to God, and He'll bless you. "And I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." Not only did God said do that, but "I will be with those who do that, to do their best until their life is no more, and then I will take them to heaven." Now, it's as simple as it gets. The Bible says, "I'm dust." You are too. "Unto dust shall I return." The body will return to dust from whence it came, and the spirit will return to God whence it came. I can't do anything about either one of those. God will take care of it. The only thing that I can do is choose to follow the Lord and make the choice that I want to go to heaven. And so when He takes my spirit, He will put it in the eternal rest from the second that I die. And that's why it's worth it. Now, let's talk about, just briefly, submit to God. What does that mean? Well, it comes from the idea that we bring all of our wants and our desires, our feelings, under the will of God. Remember the servant? That we submit without thinking. Why? Because God will take care of us. That we submit everything that we have to God. Submit to God is number one. And resist the devil, number two. The word resist, it comes from a military word. To array against. And the term is used a couple of times in this text. In verses 7 through 10. We won't have time to go over all of it. But it means to array yourself. Get ready to make a defense against the devil. Submit to God. God will take care of you. But you must stand for righteousness, else the devil will get you. Now, how do I do that? Well, I submit to God by hearing and obeying Him. Let me give you one verse that will capsulize the principle. John 6:45. Everyone, the scripture says, who are taught of God and learned of God, heard and comes to Him. So one learns about God. He then digests it. Do I want to do it? He or she has a choice. Am I willing to do it? I will do it. And then the next step, being taught of God, I'm willing to go the next step. Well, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord says that I must believe in Him. Except I believe that Christ is the Son of God, I will die in my sins, and where I am, where He is, I can't go. Christ is in heaven. If I die disbelieving Christ, I cannot go to heaven. That's not really rocket science. I either have a choice to believe that He's the Christ, that He came, He died for me, He wants me to go to heaven, He loves me enough that He gave His life for me. If there had been one soul, He would have still died on the cross. And so He wants me to go to heaven. But I have to make that choice. Am I willing to listen to Him? Am I willing to submit to Him? Am I willing to become this servant that we talked about? To submit my will, all of my will, to God. And when I have done that, listen to what Jesus said. He who believes that Christ is the Son of God, who believes that He has, there's a lot more to it than we say. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ exists. I believe that there was a man in the Bible, but that won't help you much. You must do what He says. You see, the devils believe and tremble. Are they going to be in heaven? No. And so, you must believe that He is. Now listen to the next part of it in Hebrews 11. Those that will have faith in the Lord must believe that He is. I do that. And that He will reward those who diligently seek Him. You see, there's a second part. That's my part. I must acknowledge that there's a God, yes. And I must acknowledge that He made everything. And a lot of people do that. But the next thing, I must believe that He will reward me if I seek Him. Now there's another side to that. He also will reward those who reject Him. That's why we're here tonight. We're not here tonight to just perform some ritual. We need to get that out of our minds. That's never been a part of it, if one ever thought of it. It must be removed. I am here to serve God to the best of my ability. Why? Because I believe that God will richly reward me if I will serve Him. But I also believe that He has the power to condemn me if I reject Him. Now that's a sobering thought. And the Lord leaves it all up to Wendell. The Lord leaves it all up to you. He's not going to catch us, drag us out of bed on Sunday morning, or any time as for that matter, and drag us down to worship Him. We make that choice. But it's a good choice. And it's a choice that will reward us richly. There's nothing else that you can do. It's a reward that's worth dropping everything and doing it. Now, we've all heard this simple account of Jesus calling the fishermen. Anybody here who is familiar just vaguely with the Scriptures that does not remember, anyone who does not remember that when Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and when He called Peter and Andrew and James and John, and He said, come, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. We've heard that just general knowledge. You know what they did? They drop their nets immediately and they follow Jesus. Well, what about the man that's got the boat? Is he going to get it back? Well, there'll be provisions for that. And they followed him. Now, the promise that Jesus made to these men, that it won't be easy and you may lose your life, but I'll give you something that will be worth a million, a billion, a trillion lives on this earth. I'll give you eternal life. That's really what it's all about. So, when one obeys the gospel. Now, also, we must live faithful and not entangle ourselves. Let me read you a verse that's pretty hard hitting. As language, as we would say, as language goes. In the book of 2 Timothy, turn if you have your Bible there. I'm reading from the American Standard, and I want to just take the time to read this verse. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And it was Paul's last letter. Paul was in prison in Rome at the time that he wrote 2 Timothy. He would tell you a little later on in this book, in chapter 4, they've already informed me that I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. And he made that statement. He said, Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But before he wrote that, he said this, Timothy. And verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You good folks here, and I'm so proud that you are overseeing and helping William Chin. Every person that he helps to go to heaven, some of that blessing will reflect right back to him. Why? Because you help him eat every day. You help him have a place to sleep. You help he and Yolanda have something to eat. And they go and they teach. And I know William and Yolanda because we were around them. We went to their graduation. We saw their grades. We get their report. Most of you don't know. And even till now. And I didn't know it till recently. When William went to work, he put on a jacket that didn't have William Chin like you think. It said whatever his name was in Chinese or Taiwanese, PhD. And he said this, I don't know that I can go to heaven unless I quit my job, learn to preach, and go back over there and help those folks. Now, you don't know many people like that. And the congregation here will be blessed immensely, and you'll probably never know many of the details because you're helping somebody hear the truth. Now, Paul said, Timothy, the things that you learned of me and the things that you heard from me, I want you to tell other people who will be faithful to commit them. Now then, he says this. He gets right down to the living it. Verse 3, suffer hardship with me. What I'm asking you to do, Timothy, is not going to be easy. You've got to submit to God. The devil will want you to deny Christ. But don't do that. Suffer hardship with me. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And when you lay down the sword, you'll go to heaven. But then he said more. No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. What becomes most important to go to heaven? Going to heaven and doing the will of God becomes the very most important thing. And to try to take your family and your children, your husband and or wife, if you have one, in order to go to heaven. That's the most important thing. And he said, no soldier ever entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. We sing soldiers of Christ. You can't be a soldier of Christ one day and the next day be a soldier of the world. You can't be a soldier of Christ and the next day entangling yourself in something that takes all of your time, takes all of your energy and everything you have to get that done, and you let that go. That's not the submission that Paul is saying, or James is saying here in James. Submit to God. When you become a soldier, actually the text really in the Greek terms, and when if you were reading it in the Greek, here's what it would say. One time you enlist as a soldier of the Christ, you will never be decommissioned and you will never be unlisted. That's going to be it. That's your whole life as a soldier in Christ. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The Lord gave us the equipment. And he equipped us to resist the devil and to fight the devil. And he gave us armor. Figuratively speaking, of course. And here's what the armor looks like. Now, I'm going to read this in the short amount of time that we have left. What is our equipment to fight the devil? He said, resist him. Array yourself against the devil. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and you've read it before, and even in chapter 6, it says, servants, be obedient to them according to the flesh. But in verse 13, Paul had reasoned in previous verses about the things that we've got to fight against. Powers, principalities, high things. Things that would take our mind from God. And he said, wherefore? And that's a word you need to take note of. Because of these things that are out here. Well, let me just read them. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. It's not against individuals, but it's against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, wherefore, take up the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. What about it? There's coming an evil day. Who's going to be after you? The devil is going to try to get you. You've submitted to God. Array yourself for battle and fight against God. Now here's your equipment. Stand therefore having girded your loins with truth. If you don't read the Bible and study it and pray every day, you're missing a blessing. Besides that, you're missing something that you could have. Anybody could have it. In any language, any color, any people. Having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded your loins with truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is nothing outside this book that will make you free. There's a lot of good things written. There's things written about the Bible. There's comments about the Bible. And some of them are good and you can use them. But there is nothing besides the Scriptures. God wrote one book. It only contains 66 little books. And some of them are only a page long. And most people could read it easily in 30 days if they really wanted to. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So take the truth. I'm going to battle. What am I going to have? I'm going to know what truth is. I'm going to be right. Number one. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate do? It protects the vital organs. What is righteousness? Righteousness is doing right. When you face the devil, you know what you are, you know what righteousness is, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The devil is a coward. He's always been a coward. But tell him where you stand, why you stand, and that you're not going to move. I had a chemistry teacher in high school. He was a big guy. He later on ran for sheriff. And left some of the big football guys, you know, that thought that they were something. His speech to the 11th grade was simple. He said, "We're going to enjoy chemistry. And if there's any problem, and somebody has to leave class, I'm staying. Period." And you know who's going to leave? And he was big enough to make that stand. You're going to leave if you don't behave. Right. So that's the way you've got to approach the devil. "I'm not going to move, Satan. You're a liar. You've always been a liar. Call him who he is." One of the things you've got to know is identify him. He is evil everything. Billy Sunday said that "I stand against everything the devil is for. I am a for everything the devil is against." He was a denominational preacher in the 30s that fought booze in the Prohibition era. "And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." I know who I am. I know where I stand. I know where I'm going. Satan, get out of my way. Now, if you don't deal like that with this evil one, he'll get you. And then he says, "Take up the shield of faith." And when you say that, you go forward and let him try. The shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So you can go forward. And whatever he's going to throw with you, you can shield it off. You can deflect it and keep walking. And then take up the helmet of salvation. That protects your head. I'm saved. And devil, you're going to be lost. God is going to condemn you in the pits of hell at the end. And I know that, and you know that, and I'm not going to give you an inch. And then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's where I stand, Satan. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, with that kind of stance, you can be assured that the devil will do exactly like he did when Jesus said 3 times, "It is written, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And the devil leaveth him for a little season. He'll be back, but he'll leave you. And that's the way we have to live, with confidence and assurance of every song that we sing, that it's right, that we're getting closer to God. You may be here tonight and you may not be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you don't have any of this equipment. You see, in Christ, then God provides you with salvation. God provides you so that you can live right. God provides you that He says, "I will take care of you in these battles." All spiritual blessings are in Christ. There's not any spiritual blessing out. And Christ died for His church. The reason the world doesn't believe, there's so much confusion out there and people going in every direction, I don't know what to believe. We're to believe there's one. There's just one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one God who is above all, through all, and in all. And you can do that and have that assurance tonight. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's that simple. And the Lord said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." Therefore, you have submitted to God. You can then resist the devil, and he'll leave you alone. And keep fighting him away until you fight that last battle. And you stumble forward in the arms of Jesus. Safe in the arms of Jesus. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, those that obey the gospel will be in heaven. Those that reject the gospel will be punished with everlasting destruction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9. If you've obeyed the gospel and you've got on the wrong road, that means that you've let your armor down and the devil's been winning. But you can pick it back up with a confidence and fight him faithfully, and the Lord will forgive every sin that you'll turn from.
through repentance and prayer, the Lord will forgive you and you can be restored to live right and to have that hope. While together we stand and sing, if we can help you, let it be known while we sing.